Hi, this is Keith Johnson. Welcome to Expressions from St. Paul. I'd like to share with you a message from our distinguished pastor, the Honorable Dr. Ephraim Williams, as shared with the church on Sunday, March 15th. And it reads, "The health and safety of our members and community are a high priority for us. In consideration of this week's declaration of a global pandemic, and after much prayer and consideration, we will be temporarily canceling all on-campus activities, events, ministry meetings, choir rehearsals, and Bible studies from March 16th through March 31st. We will not gather for morning worship on Sunday, March 22nd or Sunday, March 29th, but the services can be viewed at our website via live stream at stpaulsac.org. Friends, we will continue to pray and to trust God. With that being said, here's this week's message. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us online on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. It would truly be a blessing to see your face in your place. We recently celebrated our 72nd church anniversary, and our keynote speaker on our Thursday night service is a dynamic young preacher by the name of Minister Joseph Manaway. He's the youth pastor at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield, California. And he titled his message, "I Am Not Alone."
Look at somebody looking at you, looking back at you, saying, "You've come this far by faith too." And it hasn't been because of your education, and hasn't been because of your money, and hasn't been because of who your mama and daddy is or who your mama and daddy is not. It's not been because of those degrees and diplomas and certifications on your wall, but you've made it this far because you have not been alone. The Lord has been with you all of the way.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go together to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 19. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join this powerful worship service already in progress.
Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, how wonderful is your name. Great is your name above all in the earth. And Father, we don't want to insult you tonight, so before we ask you for anything or suggest anything from you, let us first say thank you for everything. Lord, we're not ignorant tonight, so we know that when our eyelids flew open this morning, we were greeted by some good news. And that was you had once again canceled our reservations to the cemetery. So Lord, just for this gift called the present, we say thank you for the air in our lungs, for the beating of our hearts, for the cognition of our minds, for the activity of our limbs. We say thank you. God, we thank you for the St. Paul Church. We thank you for helping us to stand and sustain for 72 years. God, we thank you for the worship last night. We thank you for the worship tonight. We thank you for the songs that have been sang, for the expressions that have been given, for the words that have been shared, and for the gifts that have been rendered. But now, God, once again, it's preaching time, and we need a word from you. We need insight from you. We need instruction from you. And so our request is simple, Lord, and that is speak to us like only you can. Lift up the bowed down head like only you can. And Lord, when all has ceased and hushed, we'll be so careful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise because we owe you that much. It is in Jesus' name we pray. So it is, so it shall be forever. Amen. Amen. If you're grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time, why don't we show some sign, put your hands together. Amen. Amen. Good evening, family. Good evening, family. It's a great day to be alive, isn't it? I said it's a great day to be alive, isn't it? How grateful and how privileged and how honored I am to be able to stand before you all once again. Happy anniversary, St. Paul. I do give honor to God tonight, who is truly the head of my life. And I bring you greetings from one of your home folk churches, at some of your kinfolk church, one of your kinfolk churches, Mount Calvary Church of Fairfield and Sassoon, and they send their love and their greetings. Dr. Lee is preaching in Augusta, Georgia tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, he would have joined us at least one night. So he wanted me to make sure I send my love to you all tonight. And I give God praise and honor for our bishop, our leader, the living legend in our midst, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Can we say amen for him? Come on, I thought St. Paul would make a little bit more noise than that. Come on. I said, this is your pastor. Can we say amen and give God praise for this man of God? Come on. Amen. How humble and how honored I am. Whenever I'm just able to be in his presence, let alone to stand in the place where he stood for so long, and all of these brothers and ministers who share the bond of preachment with me, and to our choir and to our musicians and to our praise team, our ushers, our deacons, our AV team, and Lottie Dottie and everybody. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go have some more church. Anybody feel the way that I feel tonight? Amen. I don't want to be before you long. I know we were in service last night, and we have a bit of ways to go this weekend. So if you can, let's journey to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the book that answers to the name of Jeremiah, the prophet. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. If you go all the way to the end of the chapter, this is where we'll drop anchor tonight at verse number 19. And I have the New King James up here with me, so it may or may not read a little differently than yours. And like to hear it, here it go. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, and I will deliver you. That's enough. You may be seated. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail, for I am with you and I will deliver you. They will fight against you, but they will not overtake you. They won't win because I am with you and I will be sure to deliver you. Just simply do me a favor, fellas, reach in your pocket. Ladies, reach down in your purse, reach around in there and find your spare smile. Take it out of, get a hold of it, take it out of there, put it on your face and give it to at least one person sitting around you and say, neighbor, I am not by myself. I am not by myself. I am not alone. I am not alone. I'm not alone. That's what we want to talk about here tonight. I am not alone. I do solicit your prayers. Whether we know it or not, or whether the world would like to accept it or not, we can do absolutely nothing without the help of God. I remember growing up in church, as aforementioned by Dr. Williams. I believe I told you all last year that my dad is a preacher and so is my mother. My father has been in ministry now some 44 years, and 43 of which he's been a senior pastor, and he's been at the church he's at now for 37 years. And my mother started preaching the same year he did, so combined it is 88 years of ministry between the two of them. So needless to say, me and my four siblings were always in church. I mean, we were in church like 10 days a week, 30 hours a day. I mean, always in church. And out of the myriad of things that I can recall from my time of growing up in church is our church anniversaries. During the church anniversaries, I can remember the choir lining up at the back in their robes, swaying from side to side in sync with one another. And they would be singing a song that says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And whenever we would celebrate another year, I don't care who was preaching, who was singing, or what the color coordination happened to be this year, you could believe that whatever it was, the choir was going to line up at the back door and march in sync singing, "We've come this far by faith." Now, maybe you're not a choir member, and maybe today is not your anniversary, something special. And maybe although we're celebrating St. Paul tonight and the 72 years that God has allowed this church to flourish in this community, but maybe you can look back over your own life and say, St. Paul is not the only entity in this room who have come this far by faith. Because if you can just pick up the mirror, you can look at somebody looking at you, looking back at you, saying, "You've come this far by faith too." And it hasn't been because of your education, it hasn't been because of your money, it hasn't been because of who your mama and daddy is or who your mama and daddy is not. It's not been because of those degrees and diplomas and certifications on your wall, but you've made it this far because you have not been alone. The Lord has been with you all of the way. And I need to see, is there anybody in here tonight who can wave your hand and testify and say, "When I didn't have money, I had the name of Jesus. When people ran off and left me, the Lord never left me. And the reason why I'm still sane tonight, the reason why I've been able to live with some illnesses that some people have died from, is because I have the Lord on my side." If that's you, why don't you just take a moment and just look up toward heaven and say, "Lord, thank you for sticking with me. Even, watch this, even when I wasn't faithful to you, you've always been faithful to me. When I wasn't good to you, you've always been good to me." So let me just take a few moments and say, "Lord, thank you for never leaving me." I'll text you tonight, paints a panoramic picture of the Lord ensuring somebody that he's going to be with them all the while. And it's not just for St. Paul, but even in our text, this prophet by the name of Jeremiah, we even see it for him. The first thing that the text shows us is the reason why we can know that the Lord is just not with us today, but he'll be with us tomorrow. Number one is because he's been with us from the womb. He's been with us from the womb. When you look at this text between verses 4 and verses 8 in Jeremiah chapter 1, God comes to Jeremiah. He says, "Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet to all the nations." In other words, Jeremiah, before you were ever formed in the womb, before you were conceived and before you were born, there was purpose already attached to your life. I need to just tell somebody real quick that you were not born for no reason, but the simple fact that your heart is beating tonight and you're able to sit there and look at this light-skinned preacher preach is because the Lord still has some stuff he needs you to do. Look at somebody and tell your neighbor, "Your work's not done." He says that from the time you were conceived and the time you were born, I purposed and I put purpose on your life. And there's something special that only you can do. But Jeremiah did like some of us, me included, some of us would do. He said, "Lord, that sounds great. That sounds good. That sounds amazing. But what you have to understand is I'm just a youth." Jeremiah says, I'm just a youth. Theologians suggest that he's between the age of 15 and 19 at the time that this was written. But he wasn't so much speaking about youth in age. He was more so speaking about youth by way of his understanding. And there's somebody in here today, you can testify, there's been times in your life where the Lord has called you to do something. He's pushed you to do something. He's put something on your heart to complete. But you say, "Lord, that sounds real good for somebody else, because I know you ain't called me to do that, because I don't have the degree, I don't have the connections, I don't even like public speaking like that. So I know you're not really calling me to do it, because I'm just a youth." And God checks Jeremiah and says, "Jeremiah, I knew who you were and how old you were when I called you." He says, "But what I need you to do is," verse 8, he says, "don't be afraid of their faces." He says, "I've called you from the womb. I knew you, and my opinion is the only one that matters. So when I call you to do this, and I've called you, and I've already placed my hand on you," he says, "I don't want you to be afraid of their faces, but just focus on me." Now, this is very important, because when you sift out this part of the text, he's literally telling Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. In other words, it's synonymous with this phrase, don't put too much stock in what men think about you. All right. Okay. And there's a whole lot of us in here tonight that we would be further along in life. We would be so much better. We would have said yes to God a long time ago. But the only problem is we care too much about what people think about us.
Okay, may I surmise us tonight that if Dr. William and you saints that were around here in the early 90s, if y'all listened to the naysayers, we probably wouldn't be sitting in this sanctuary tonight. All right, okay, let me see if I can make this make sense. Pastor Reginald Sharp forced the words of Bishop G.E. Patterson, and he says there are two major convergences that any saint has to go through. This is number one, it's the conversion of when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart to be the Lord over your life. He says, but the second greatest deliverance that any saint needs to go through is to be delivered from the opinions of others. And for so many of us in here today, we ain't said yes to God because we care too much about what people think about us. Well, the flip side is a lot of us care too much about what people think about. That's why we signed a car. We signed a lease to that car that we knew we couldn't keep up with the payment because we care too much about what people think about us. You went to the mall, spent all that money on that outfit on the 11th, knowing you ain't get paid till the 15th because you care too much about what people think about you. But can I tell us tonight, the reason why we shouldn't put too much stock in what people think about us is because they did not wake us up this morning. They don't put clothes on your back, shoes on your feet. They don't put bread on your table. They don't give you the activities of your limbs. So you cannot get caught up on what people think. Just take your mind off of she, he, they, and them and just stay focused on him. And I need to see, is there anybody in here tonight who can wave your hand and testify and say, I'm done with being wrapped up in the opinions of others. If I got to stand up all by myself, I'll do it alone. If I got to preach alone, sing alone, go alone, I'm willing to do it, because when nobody else was there for me, the Lord was already there. And I need to see, do I have at least five people? And I'll gladly make number six that says, if my praise offends you, then find you somewhere else to sit, because I didn't come here to look at you, and I hope you didn't come here to look at me. I don't praise for your approval. I don't worship for your approval. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I might shout, I might wave my hand, I may run, and I don't care what you think about it, because he's been good to me.
Yeah. All right. So he says, don't be afraid of their faces. But then he says, I've been with you from the womb, so just know that I am with you. Verse 9, he says that you don't have to worry. Don't worry, because don't be afraid of their faces. He says, but then the next thing in verse 9, he says, don't trip, because I'm with you. Here it is. I have laid my hands on you, and I have put my words in your mouth. Now, I really like this part, because he says, Jeremiah, I've called you to spread good tidings and cheer and instruction to Judah and Israel. He says, but don't worry about trying to figure it out alone, because I've put my words in your mouth. I just need you to be a willing vessel. You ain't got to figure it out. I'm going to take care of the details. I'm going to put the words in. Okay, let me see if I can make this make sense. Has anybody ever come to you for advice or for prayer? And the next thing you know, you start giving them advice and spiritual guidance. And then you looking at them buck-eyed, and they like, you are as surprised as they are that you're able to give them that kind of advice. And you don't know where it came from either. It's not because we're so smart or so spiritual, but it's because in that moment, God gave us the words we needed in order to encourage a brother or sister. All right, let me see my people in here that know good and well that it was the grace of God that you worked the job that you work. It's by the grace of God that some of us in here, we got people that work under us that's more qualified than we are. It's not because we've been so good, but it's because he's put the word and the ability in our life and in our mouth. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter number one, when the angel comes to the teenager Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. Mary said, that all sounds good, but I've never known a man. And the angel says, Mary, don't trip, girl, because what you can't do, God is going to make up the difference. He's going to give it to you. That matter, he literally says that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. In other words, when he says the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, he literally saying is the Holy Spirit's going to make up the difference. So for what you don't have, for what you don't know, for what makes you nervous and what makes you anxious, don't trip about the little details. The Holy Spirit is going to make up the difference. Now, I know some of us are blessed and have been blessed a mighty long time, but I need to see, is there anybody in here tonight who's ever had more month than you had money and you had to add a little water to the ketchup bottle? Where that crew at? You had to stretch the Kool-Aid and put a little water in it. You had to take the 8 pieces of chicken and cut it up into 14 pieces just so everybody could
could have a little bit to eat. Where are my people in here tonight whose gas light came in on your car on Wednesday and you ain't get paid till Friday? And you said, Lord, if you just let me get to work and back home, I promise I ain't gonna make no extra stops. And your car didn't run out of gas. It's because the Lord made, the Holy Spirit made up the difference. And if that's you, why don't you look up toward heaven and say, Lord, keep making up the difference. For what I don't know, you teach me. For where I can't go, you give me access. Thank you for putting your word over my life and making up the difference.
All right. So the Lord, I am not alone. And I know this. He says, number one, because I was with you in the womb. But not only that, but the second thing the text shows us is he says, I'll be with you in the work. I'll be with you in the work, because verse 10, he tells them that I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. And here it is, verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, what do you see? Jeremiah says that I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, this is so interesting because the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet of nations and says that I've given you governance over kingdoms and nations. And in verse 11, he does not ask Jeremiah to speak anything. He first thing he says is, what do you see? Now, I really, really like this part. I really like this clause in verse 11 because he says, before you can speak to these nations and before you can speak to these kingdoms, the first question I need to ask you is, what do you see? Because before you can say anything, you need to be able to see something. All right, yeah. Before you can prophesy or testify or encourage other people about my likeness and about my attributes and about who I am and what I am and how I work, I first need to make sure you can see who I am. I first need to make sure that your sight is good before I know that your word is good. All right, let me see if I can make this make sense. I was traveling a few weeks ago, and I was in the airport at SFO in San Francisco, and they came over the loudspeaker. And when they came over the loudspeaker, they said that our threat level is at level orange, and so don't leave bags unattended. And if you see a bag that is unattended, please notify airport security. And by the way, my friends, if you see something, I see y'all was on the plane with me. If you see something, then say something. In other words, what God is saying to Jeremiah is, before you speak, I need you to make sure that I need to know that you see something. What have you seen? And by God, St. Paul, if there's nothing else, if we can't ever tell anybody what God is going to do, we ought to be able to always testify about what we've already seen him do. And there's somebody in here today. That's why you praise the way you praise. That's why you worship the way you worship. That's why you come to church if don't nobody else comes. It's because you've seen him do too much to act like this the last place you want to be. And some every now and then I will come to church. And at any given time, there's two kinds of people who will come to worship. The first kind are the people who don't really need God to do nothing. That's why they kind of sit there and look like this the last place they want to be. That's why they kind of sit there and look like they ate a whole box of lemons for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's because they hadn't really seen them do anything. But the reason why some of us have so much worship on our heart and praise on our lips, and we can't help but to wave our hand, we can't help but to sing, we can't help but to shout, we can't help but to praise his name, because I've seen him do too much to sit here and act like I haven't seen him do anything. And I need to see, where are my seers in the room today? Do I have at least 9 seers? And I'll gladly make number 10, and we'll have our own little personal praise party that can say, when I look back over my life, if God don't do another thing for me, he's already done enough. He's let me tunnel over some mountains and get through some rivers I thought was going to drown me. So I didn't come here tonight just because it's the next thing on the schedule. But I came here tonight to say, Lord, thank you for showing me who you are. I don't need to ask nobody if he can be Jehovah Rapha. I know he can heal. I don't need to ask nobody if he can be Jehovah Jireh. I've seen him provide. I don't need to ask nobody if he can be Jehovah Shalom. I've seen him give me peace. And I need to see him. I'm the only person in this church tonight that's ever seen God move. Have you ever seen him move in your finances? Has you ever seen him put joy in your heart? Have you ever seen him save your child? Have you ever seen him give you a job you know you wouldn't qualify for? Look up toward heaven and say, Lord, keep showing me who you are. All right.
Says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, Lord, I see a branch of an almond tree. And just this kind of made me nervous while I was studying, because I'm like, oh, Lord, that's kind of weird. Ain't much preaching in that. So should I just skip that part or what? I see a branch of an almond tree. Until you study the text and you find out that the almond tree in the Hebrewic times, in this time that the text was written, the almond tree was a very significant symbol, because the almond tree budded in January and it bore fruit in late March, early April. It was the first tree to bear fruit. So when Jeremiah says, I see the branches of an almond tree, and the Lord replies to him and says, you seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. In other words, God is saying to Jeremiah, it's some stuff that I'm going to show you and tell you to say that's going to happen over time. But then there's some other things I need you to get to right now, because I'm ready to perform my word. Now, for so many of us, the things that God has called us to do and what God is pushing us to, what God is letting us see as we're treasuring the past and accepting our present and trusting God for our future, sometimes it can seem so big. Sometimes God can give you a vision or a calling, or God can place something on your heart to do and to accomplish, and it seems like a mural with 500 colors. And it seems to be cool and it seems to be awesome, but then you reach down in your pocket and you find out you only got 3 crayons in your pocket. And those crayons are black, gray, and white. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, Lord, I see this mural that you want me to paint and that you want me to color in, but I only got black, gray, and white in my pocket. And every now and then, what God has called us to do and be versus what we have today can be intimidating. What God is saying to Jeremiah is, Jeremiah, I'm showing you the almond branch. Watch this, as a symbol of this, that it's some stuff that although what I've called you to is real big, it's some stuff you can't get it all done today, but it's some stuff you can start to do today to get to that point. Okay, so if all you have today is that black crayon, at least start shading some stuff. You may not have all the crayon colors yet, but if you got white in your pocket, make some clouds. If you have gray today, go on and make some shadows. You at least use the 3 that you have. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All right, in my mind, in this summer, even this summer or next one, I'm going to have a summer body. I am, in Jesus' name. I believe it. I do have a 6-pack up here. It's just in the pack right now, but it's up here. It's just, you know, it's just still in the case. You understand? Now, I'm not going to go from case to 6-pack in one night. But what I can do tonight is do 10 sit-ups. All right, y'all not hearing me. This church was not built in a day. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But at some point, we could at least start with a blueprint. They were not able to build this beautiful edifice in 1 hour, but somebody had to start with at least digging the shovel into the ground and picking up some dirt at one time. I'm just trying to tell somebody that the Lord is with you, and since he is with you, you may not have all the answers today, but just use what you have until you can get to where you're going. All right. Let me see if you can make this make sense. And since you can use what you have today, and there's a lot of us in here today, we get so caught up on what we don't have. We get so caught up on the connections we don't have, but you got to use your almond branch and just praise the Lord for what you do have. In other words, I like to put it like this, Dr. Williams. We got to learn how to praise God for the at least in our life. All right, let me see. What is the at least? What is the at least almond branch? What is that, Manaway? I'm so glad you asked. It kind of sounds something like this. I may not drive the finest car, but at least I drive something to get me from point A to point B. We may not live in the finest house, but at least we got a nice pool out of that Ray Ray house. Y'all, I may not eat steak and lobster every night, but at least I got some pork and bean and weenies at the house. And I need to see, is there anybody in here tonight other than me who's able to praise God for the almond branches in your life that says, Lord, I may not have all of the answers. Everything may not be how I want it to be, but I can praise God for the little bit I have tonight. I thank God that I may not eat what I want, but at least I have something to eat. I may not be able to
wear what I want, but at least I have something to wear. I may not have everything that I want today, but God, I thank you for the little bit you've blessed me with, and I'm going to use the little bit you gave me to give you glory.
Just matter of fact, just look at somebody and say, neighbor, just get started where you are. Get started where you are. Tell them. Just get started where you are. You don't have to have all the answers. Everything ain't got to be done. Everything ain't got to be figured out. But use your arm and branch, whatever God has blessed you with. Just get started where you are. Just use what you have. If all you have is two fish and five loaves, that's enough for the Lord to feed a multitude. If all you have is a teenager pregnant with a savior in the hood, you got enough in order to birth something that's going to save humanity. Just get started where you are. Says, what do you see? He says, I see an almond branch. And God says, you're right. You've seen well because I'm ready to perform my word. The last thing is, not only I am not alone. I'm not alone. And I know that because he's been with me from the womb. And he's going to be with me in the work. But I got to be willing to work. Even when I don't have a lot to start with. We got to be willing to work even when we don't have all the answers. But the next thing is, he's going to be with me in the warfare. He's with me in the womb. He's with me in the work. And he's with me in the warfare. The next thing the Bible says in verse number 13 in the New King James, it says that the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see a boiling pot and it's facing away from the north. I like this because what God wanted to show Jeremiah was not complete. He asked him one time what he saw, and he told him he saw a branch of an almond tree. Then the Bible says that God comes back to Jeremiah a second time. He comes to him again and says, what do you see now? I like this because it shows the reframe of God, that he comes back to Jeremiah. Now, this isn't for everybody, but this is for everybody who feels like you've tried and you failed. This is for everybody that feels like you said yes to God at one time, but you've missed your window. That you feel like you're too old to go to school now. You feel like now you've tried and it didn't work out, or you feel like it wasn't what it's supposed to be, that my family is what it is and I just have to accept it. No, my prayer is that God allows you to see again. I pray that you're able to dream again. I pray that you're able to imagine again. I pray that you're able to work again. I pray that you're able to love again. I pray that you're able to serve again. God asks Jeremiah, what do you see? He says, I see a boiling pot from the north. And it's pointing away from the north. In other words, he says, it's pointing southward. And this was symbolic, and I'll hasten, this is symbolic of the warfare that the people of Judah was going to have to endure. This was symbolic of the people of the north, the Babylonians ganging up with their other crew and coming down to where they were in Judah and ganging up on them and whooping them under the Lord's allowance. He says that they are going to come, that the families from the north are going to come, and they're going to wreak havoc on you. It says the families of the north, they're going to come and they're going to set their thrones up around verse 15. He says they're going to set their thrones up at the entrance gates. Now, this is so interesting because them setting their thrones up at the entrance gates, and then when you sift and study out this text, you will find out that it's symbolic of the fact that at the entrance of the gates, this was a place of judgment. And this was a place of rule. So with them setting up their thrones at the temple gates, it was symbolic of the fact that there was a new sheriff in town. And the same way that you allowed God to be your judge and you allowed God to be your governor, since y'all wanted to act crazy and you felt like God's way was tired and old and that God wasn't good enough anymore and that he had blessed you so much that it spoiled you and that you've turned your way from him, and now God is going to give you what you want to show you what you want ain't what you need. He said, and now I'm going to let somebody else reign over you. It's kind of like this. I'm going to tell y'all one story, then I'm going to be all done. And so I can see y'all tomorrow, and I'm going to find me some Coca-Cola and chicken from somewhere. I remember being 17 years old, and it's my senior year in high school, and I think that I'm fresh to death. My grandma would say, at this time, I'm starting to smell myself. Y'all understand? And, yeah. Saturday night, late Saturday night, about 12:30 a.m., I get a call, and it's some classmates of mine. They're at a kickback. They're at this party, and all my friends from my school and other schools, they're there, and even the young lady I'm dating at the time, she at the party. And so now all my friends are calling me saying, Joe, come to this party, man. And I'm saying, no. They say, why not? I said, I got 7:45 service tomorrow, so I can't go. And the youth choir own the sing, and so I got to sing and do the welcome. And my daddy ain't going to let me be out past midnight on a Saturday night, and it's already 12:30. So that's a no for me. And so they said, we know how we gonna get you out here. And I said, how y'all gonna do it? So they put my girl on the phone. And she's sweet talking me and trying to get me, to leave the house and get to this party. And to which I'm giving her the Barry White back. Now, baby girl, you know I can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? And she said something that troubled me. She said to me, and St. Paul, hear me real good. She said, Joe, if you were any kind of real man, that's what I said. If you were any kind of real man, you would meet me at this party. And before she could get it out of mouth, I had jeans on and I had Nikes on. I had a sweatshirt on and I got out of the house. I got out of the house, got into my car, and my car stalled. Now, mind you, this was a new car. The car had no business stalling. And like most of us, I'm turning the car over saying, Lord, please let this car work. I'm asking the Lord to assist me in my wrongdoing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? After like attempt number nine, the car ends up starting, cutting across the field. I get to the party. We go to IHOP. I get back home at 3:45. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? It's 3:45 a.m. Sunday morning. And when I get home, I turn my music down in my car. I drive up slow on the driveway because there's gravel in our driveway. I don't even want my mama and daddy to hit a rocks. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I knew if they heard those rocks, my rocks would be crying out, not in praise, but in pain. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I get to the door, and the front door is cracked, and the kitchen light is on. Not only is the front door cracked and the kitchen light on, but the light going downstairs, going to my room, is on. And when I get in the house, my daddy walks past me with two trash bags, nods his head, and keeps going. So now I think I'm in the clear because he don't walk past me. So I shimmy on downstairs. I go down to my room. But when I get down to my room, all of my drawers are open and my closet doors open, and now all of my stuff is in plastic bags, to which my daddy was dropping my stuff outside. To which now when he comes back downstairs, I said, Dad, what's going on? What you doing? He said, son, you know my rules. You know you ain't supposed to be out this house after midnight on a Saturday. You know we have church tomorrow. He said, so this is what I've decided to do. Since you don't want to abide by my rules and you live in my house, I want you to take you and your stuff and go back to wherever you just snuck out of here from, because I'm too good of a father to you for you to disobey me. I don't ask you to do nothing. You always have something to eat, and I even gave you a car to drive, and you ain't even got no job. I'm too good of a daddy to you for you to disobey me. Now that's what happened to me. But if we can look at some times in our life, there's been some times when God told us to stand up and we sat down. There's been some times where he told us to shut up and we spoke up, and we thought we knew better than God. And every now and then God will bag your stuff up and turn you over to the thing you want. And I need to see, where are my people in here today who can wave your hand and be honest in St. Paul tonight and say, there's been some times in my life where I found myself in trouble, and I can't blame it on my mama, I can't blame it on my daddy, I can't blame it on the it was me and my inconsistency. It was me and my disobedience. And where are my people who can say, even when I made terrible decisions, he still woke me up in the morning. He still started me on my way. He still kept me in my right mind. And even when I wasn't good to God, he's always been good to me. And I need to see, is there anybody in here tonight who can look up toward heaven and say, Lord, thank you for being good to me when I wasn't good to you? I gotta quit now.
So the Bible says that now I'm going to allow the families from the north to sit at the temple gate. He said, not only that, he says, but I'm turning you over to your enemies. I'm turning you over to your enemies because you started worshiping idol gods and you started worshiping the things of your hands. And I like this part because God says, I'm going to allow them to come against you because you got too caught up with the things that I blessed you with. Now, St. Paul, hear me real good. I'm not saying don't want nice things. I'm not saying don't ask God for good things. But the moment that we allow the stuff to become more important than the Savior, but the moment that we get so caught up in the product that we forget about the producer, we're already living in the red. And God says, because you got so caught up in things, because you lost your focus on me, I'm gonna turn you over to the families of the north. And God says, get ready to fight, build up fortified towers, because you're gonna have to fight. It's not gonna be easy. But that leads us to our verse in verse number 19, where he says, they will fight you and they will come against you, but they will not destroy you, because I am with you and I will deliver you. Good evening, St. Paul. I'll see you tomorrow night if the Lord wakes me up again. But I just came to tell somebody that in 72 years, God has been good to us. In 72 years, he showed us his goodness, and he showed us how faithful he could be. But I don't want to fool you now. I need to be able to tell you that, yeah, we've seen some good days, but going forward, every day won't be peaches and cream. Every day won't be easy. Just because we say we're Christians, but every now and then, life gonna weigh on you so much that you gonna look up toward heaven and say, Lord, why me? There's gonna come a day when you're gonna wanna throw in the towel. And God says, in that day, what I need you to know is that this trouble did not come to break you, but that trouble came to build you up. And I need to see, is there anybody under the sound of my voice who can wave your hands and testify and say, I've learned for myself that having Jesus on your side does not mean the absence of trouble, but it just means you'll have somebody to go through the trouble with you when the trouble comes. And the reason why I can wave my hand tonight is because he's been with me all of the way. He says, I'll be with you and I'm going to deliver you. That word in the Hebrew for deliver literally means to snatch away. And that's why we're here tonight, because when you were sick and the doctors didn't know what to do, God snatched you out of the sickness. When you didn't know how you were going to pay your bills, God snatched you out of the debt. Matter of fact, when you and I were headed to a burning hell, the Lord snatched us out of the hand of the enemy. And I need to see, is there anybody under the sound of my voice who can jump to your feet and say, God, thank you for being with me. Say, God, thank you for keeping me. Thank you for shielding me. Thank you for providing. Thank you for helping. Thank you for healing. Thank you for saving. Thank you for giving you my peace. And there's somebody here tonight who can wave your hand and say, Manaway, I don't know who it is. How do you know that you're not alone? And I need to tell you, you're not alone, because you got somebody who is walking with you. And he is not your average Joe, but he was Abraham's redeemer. He was Noah's ark. He was David's music. He was Solomon's strength. Does anybody know who he is? He was Samson's strength. He was Matthew's king. He was Mark's suffering servant. He was Luke's great physician. He was John's beloved. He was the Acts of the Apostles. He was the Christ in Corinthians. He was the Redeemer of Romans. If you flip to the end of the book, you'll see where he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. But if you open up the pages of my life, you will find out that he can be a friend that sticks closer to any brother. Now, I don't want you to touch nobody, but just blink a high five and say, neighbor, you are not alone. You got somebody who will never leave you. You got somebody who'll never forsake you. Somebody say yes. Say yeah.
Amen. What a word. What a word. Give him another hand. What a word from heaven. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the word has gone forth. And if you're here and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he's calling you tonight to let you know you are not alone. He's calling you to come forth tonight to take his hand, his precious hand, so he can walk with you through these times. Through this time in your life, through this season, to give you a hope and a future. Will you come? Is there anyone tonight? Will you stand? Is there anyone tonight that wants to meet the Redeemer? My Lord, to be redeemed, to be saved from your sins, to be forgiven. To have a future and a hope. He's calling you. He knows your struggle. He knew you from the womb. You have a purpose and a future. Will there be one tonight that wants to put their hand in the Master's hand? Will there be one? Will there be one? Will there be one? Will there be one? It's never too late. Young, old, a child, a senior in adulthood, it's never too late. All can be made brand new tonight. Will there be one to say yes? Will there be one? God bless you.